We're so glad you've joined us today for Family Talk with your host, author and psychologist, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Lou Ann Crane.
And I'm Ryan Dobson. And yesterday we started a very interesting discussion with two guests, and it took a little bit of a different spin than we expected, but that's okay because it was really good stuff.
You know, the Lord has an encouraging way of doing that from time to time. We'll come into the studio, you know, full up to the ears with our own plans. And they're often very good plans, too, if I do say so myself. But sometimes the Holy Spirit seems to say, I want you to do something different for this time together. Yeah. And we welcome that. We pray for it. Mm-hmm. This is His broadcast, after all.
It's been evident from the very beginning. Mm-hmm.
But we invited Dr. Dennis Rainey and his son Ben into our studio last time with the intention of discussing Dennis's new book called Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood. And that's a good book. And we started down that path, but then the conversation took a turn to the issue of marriage. And we have to assume that there were people listening to us who needed to hear those foundational principles of solid Christian marriage. Yeah. And I really enjoyed the conversation. If that is the case, if there are people listening to us now who heard that previous broadcast and recognize themselves and their need, I hope they'll contact us and let us know about it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to let our listeners hear more of that conversation that we had with Dennis and Ben that we heard yesterday. And as we steer back to the topic of what it really means to be a man in this culture, a Christian man in this culture.
Oh, Dad, that's so important because our culture is increasingly confused by what that actually means. And just a side note, if listeners want to go online and contact us or listen to the discussion from last time, drjamesdobson.org is the place to start. A little bit more about our guests. Dennis Rainey is the president and CEO of Family Life. He can be heard nationally on a syndicated radio broadcast, Family Life Today. He and his wife Barbara have six grown children, Ben included, who works in insurance, and over a dozen grandchildren.
Let's pick up the conversation now, Doctor, as you greeted our guests and you asked Ben Rainey a little more about his career and family. Here now on this Family Talk broadcast is Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Dennis and Ben, welcome back. We want to pick up where we were last time when we ran out of time with your book, Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood by Dennis Rainey. Ben, it's good to have you here. I've never met you before.
Thanks, Doctor.
Tell me what you do. Are you working in the ministry?
I am not working in the ministry, although I think my ministry to my four daughters is a full-time vocation in and of itself.
I would think so. Exactly. Got a book for you.
I need all that and then some, and a couple extra nannies too. If you got that,
you know what you ought to do is have Dr. Dobson come up to your house. You live here on the Front Range, so you just ought to have him come up and spend the evening.
Yeah,
you
mentor me.
Yeah.
let's go back to what you were saying right at the end of the program, Dennis, where you were discussing these stairs that you actually bring as a prop when you speak to represent the stages that males go through, beginning with boyhood.
Right. Here's what I think is taking place, Dr. Dobson. I think most men today don't clearly have a vision for what it means to be a man. That's one problem. Yeah. So they don't understand the five steps of where they're supposed to go. And secondly, I think some are stuck on a step or they're straddling two steps today. And we can talk about that as well. But the five steps that I talk about are boyhood to adolescence, adolescence to manhood, stepping up to become a mentor. And we can talk about this, but I think God made every man to have a mentor and to be a mentor. And the final step is that of patriarch or sage. And I think when men get a clear vision of what I think God wants to do in his life and through him and to the world, they can be on a mission rather than be a casualty of this world and of what it's forcing down our throats.
Let's look at adolescence for a moment. You talked about getting stuck. There's something called prolonged adolescence where a young man just never quite gets beyond adolescence, the mm-hmm. teen years, even though he's 25 or 30, he may still be living at home waiting for a dish to rattle, you know, waiting for mom to cook the meals and iron the shirts and so on. What do you do with an individual, a male, who just doesn't move on into manhood?
Well, first of all, we need to reject this idea that we need to create an additional step between adolescence and manhood that allows teenagers to move into their 20s and some into their 30s. I mean, there are those sociologists, and I know you've read them, who are recommending that we create this next phase beyond adolescence. The age of getting married today is the oldest it's been in the history of our nation. For a man, it's 28. And I think it is reflective of what's taking place in young men's lives. And you ask what to do. First of all, I'd eliminate any other step. I think God clearly has given us phases to go through. It's interesting, actually, the term adolescence, as you know, I think you've written about this, mm-hmm. didn't appear in the dictionary until the 30s. So we actually created a step between boyhood and manhood that may have contributed unknowingly to this. But I think what has to happen is the men who are standing on the manhood step, the mentor step, the patriarch step, need to reach down to teenage young men. And they need to reach down and smile and say, I want to help you step up. And let's talk about the male sex drive. Let's talk about pornography. Let's talk about how to treat a young lady with dignity. Let's talk about how to protect her sexual innocence until she's married. And call young men, instead of caving into their lusts, call young men to be, as God designed them to be, noble men who are on a mission. Men of character. And I think when older men begin to pierce the darkness that occurs in these teenage years, and what happens when a young man becomes a teenager, and I experienced it with Ben when he was a teenager growing up, they begin to push you out. And if you allow them to push you out, the peers will step in. And no teenager needs to be raised today by peers. God mm-hmm. gave teenagers parents to finish the job of raising them.
What'd you do with Ben? Are you a hunter? Are you a fisherman?
Both.
Ben and I spent
thousands of hours in the deer woods together. You know, it's hard for a young man to get in trouble in the deer woods.
That's right. You know, I actually say that it is my actions that created all the great material that my dad has for his ministry. You know, he would have less. Yeah, fewer illustrations to speak of.
We don't get any royalties for those, Ben. That's the problem.
Oddly, I didn't negotiate that early enough.
Asked for that, Ryan. He really has asked for the royalties. You know, I would brag on Ben, despite what I just said. You know, a teenager has to challenge his parents. That's a part of becoming your own person. His challenging was appropriate, but there were those moments when I needed to step into his life and say, step up. Come on and mm-hmm. embrace what it means to be a man and how you treat your sisters. I'll just brag on him. I'll never forget one time one of our daughters, I think it was Ashley, who worked at a pizza place. And she had to get off late one Friday night at the pizza place. And I didn't tell Ben to do this, but Ben went and picked her up. He told her that he would pick her up at the end of her work. It was like midnight. Hmm. And he drove down to the pizza place because he didn't want his sister getting off work at late at night. And he wanted to protect her. Well, I cheered him on with that. It was like he won the Super Bowl. That's right. In my opinion, that's what we need to be cheering for today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and you've done a good job. That's what it says. You know, as we sit here and think about this, I'm struck by the fact that there is not prolonged adolescence with women. You don't see that very often. But I hear time and time again about this prolonged adolescence mm-hmm. with guys, and then women who are in their mid, late 20s, early 30s, into their 40s, looking out and going, there are no men. There's lots and lots of boys. But there are no men out there. And I mean, if it's a motivating factor, I tell guys, if you can be different, then your options will be very, very open because your counterparts are not acting this way. They're not pulling out chairs and opening doors and paying for meals. They kind of hang out for a real long time until all of a sudden you find yourself in a relationship you never worked for, and they're going Dutch on meals and different things. And, you know, it's the last resort. I tell girls, if a guy calls you on Friday, don't ever answer your phone. You're better than that. This is the last thing he thought about. He weighed all of his options, couldn't find anything else to do, and thought, oh, well, I guess I'll call you.
Or he pulls into the driveway and honks.
Yeah, there you go.
I wouldn't let my daughter go out the door.
No, and I don't want to use this time as a session to bash men. I'm just saying you can be better. I know you can. The guys out there listening, I know you can be better. I know you can be different. I know you can be a great example for those around you, but it is time to step up.
I want to go back to the imagery of the steps for a second, because I think what happens is a boy steps up onto the adolescent step, and those years are years when young men need older men in their lives to paint the picture of what it means to step up. Our prisons are filled today with young men who didn't have a father at home, even in his imperfections, calling him to step up. And that phase of adolescence is when older men step in the lives of younger men. I'll put it this way. There's a recent writer who said there's a reason why the name of the number one porn magazine for a number of years was called Playboy. Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. It's prolonging boyhood.
Immaturity. Yeah.
Selfishness. And in fact, let me just read this to you. This is from a book that's called Guyland. It's by a sociologist by the name of Michael Kimmel. He says this, and Ryan, you and Ben will both be able to relate to this because you've met some of these guys in your business dealings. Guyland is the world where young men live. It's both a stage of life, an undefined time span between adolescence and adulthood that can stretch for a decade or more. It's a bunch of places where guys gather to be guys with each other, unhassled by the demands of parents, girlfriends, job, kids, and other nuisances of adult life. In this topsy-turvy Peter Pan mindset, young men shirk the responsibilities of adulthood and remain fixated on the trappings of boyhood, while the boys they still are struggle heroically to prove that they are real men, despite all the evidence to the contrary. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I behaved as a child. But when I became what?
A man,
I put away what?
That's right.
Childish things. And you know, it's why the Bible is so relevant to our lives today. I think in a very real sense, the Apostle Paul is calling young men to put away youthful lusts, to step away from a self-centered life. And at the appointed time, when a young lady comes along, he says, you know, I commit myself to you. We're seeing a real epidemic of young men today who are not initiating with young women. They don't feel confident in relationships, and so I think many times it's much easier to give their lives to video games.
They call that you can't commit. And
you're right.
And I would say to a girl or a young woman, when you notice that he's one of those guys, send him packing.
Yep.
I mean, I would. Tell me how you would respond to a college senior who graduates there and doesn't have a job. Would you allow him to come home, live at home? And if so, for how long?
Well, why don't we ask Ben what he felt? Because I don't know if we ever articulated this to Ben. But, Ben, when you graduated from college, did you think home was an option?
No, it was clearly understood that the inn was closed. There was no room at the inn after I graduated. And it was freeing in the sense that there was no failsafe. There was no fallback plan. There was no plan B. It was, I graduate, I get a job, and I start providing for myself. I don't think you ever said it out loud, but it certainly was very clear.
It was said out loud to us. He said the gravy train is headed around the bend. And once it gets around that corner, that's it.
Danae, I remember when I told her that, she said, yeah, the gravy train's going around the bend, but I'm going to be on it.
You know, there was a point in college, and I don't know that it was Ben, but it certainly his brother or his sisters made some kind of statement that's the following. Mom, Dad, you're helping us a little bit with college, but you're not giving us enough money to really take care of all of what we want to do. Hmm. And I would say to that—
It's called work.
I would say, you know, it's really interesting that you're feeling that way. You know what you're becoming? You're becoming an adult with adult tastes. And a part of what your mom and I are committed to was to helping you grow up to adulthood. We are not committing ourselves to satisfying your adult tastes well into adulthood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think what your question really is begging today, Dr. Dobson, is back to the parents. When's your job over? You've got to take a step back and say, let them grow up. You say, but they don't have a job. How are they going to survive? You know what? They will figure it out. If they don't, they're going to hit a wall. And some of the best things I did as a young man was hitting a wall, and the pain, Dr. Dobson, helped me step up fully out of the adolescent step into manhood myself.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, you're saying that the remedy for that is a man, an older man, to mentor. Ideally, it would be the father, I would assume. But if not, other men should step in. I'm curious— As a mom, I've got three boys, mm-hmm. so I am just at the beginning of this opportunity to launch those guys into manhood, and I want to do it right. What is my role as a mom?
I think one of the best things you can do is you and your husband both singing off the same song sheet. Get your plan together, get your powder dry, and know what you're going to do as you approach this launch phase into life as they graduate from college. You can't just have a one-size-fits-all for everybody. But you take a look at the young man, you take a look at what he needs, and then you coach him, and mm-hmm. you let him know how it's going to be handled. One of the most dangerous things that's occurring today that I think moms and dads can have an impact in their children's lives around is that of credit and going into debt. Mm-hmm. And there's a story that I'd like to hear Ben tell. That's really interesting. I once asked Ben if he had ever been afraid of me, Dr. Dobson. Uh-huh. Have you ever been afraid of me in all the years that I raised you?
Ben, go for it.
So, well, it was when I was going into my second year of college, you and I had kind of a sit down heart to heart about, I'm sure it was somewhere centered around how much money you were giving me for the living expenses. You referenced that earlier. I'm sure I was the one griping, by the way. But you sat down and you said, look, if I ever find out that you have rung up credit card debt and you do not pay your credit card statement every month in full, I will personally drive myself up to your house and kick your butt. And so my dad
is
never—
You don't remember that, do you?
No, he definitely does. He's never threatened me, although at that time I felt it was very real and never had any financial problems from that day forward, really. Mm.
You know, as I sit here, I think you would take that time and you are giving Ben the tools to become a man. My dad gave me the tools so that I could become a man, as did his dad. And Luann, you talk about your husband, Steve. He's a great man, mm-hmm. And he's giving your sons the tools. But I look at the guys out in general culture today, I feel sorry for them. We're making an assumption that they have the skill set and the tools and that somebody's teaching them. So what do we tell the guys that are out there who are early 20s thinking, I did not have a good role model? I do not have those skills, and I don't know what I'm doing.
I had three guys that totally illustrate what you're talking about. Stand in line at one of our Weekend to Remember Marriage getaways. It was right after the husband and the dad message, which we attempted to give them a picture of what it looked like. And all three of them came up, and they articulated generally the following description. Number one, my father was not there.
Yep.
Number two, I'm now a husband and a father. And number three, I do not have the foggiest idea what to do. And they said, what would you advise me to do? And I said, you know, coming to this conference is a great start, but sure, here's what you need to do. You need to find an older man who's a lap or two ahead of you in the race of life, who's standing on the manhood step and on the mentor step, and you need to ask him to mentor you and start meeting with you on a monthly basis, coaching you about what it means to be a man, a husband, a father. And at that point, start meeting with him on an ongoing basis for 2-3 years. And I would suggest it has a term limit to it, so that if you get in a mentoring relationship with someone that doesn't have mm-hmm. All the goods that you need, you can get another mentor. And he mm-hmm. said, where do I find these? I said, go to your pastor. Mm-hmm. Go ask your pastor who's got the goods, who's a guy in our church that's a worthy man of equipping you as a young man.
Well, Dennis, speaking of modeling manhood and showing other men how to act, you actually did that yourself. You shared a story in your book about a time when you chaperoned a school dance.
Well, that's a funny story because we went to a dance. I think it was in the eighth grade. I don't think it was Ben. I think it was Ben's next younger sister, Rebecca. But the dance was in a cafeteria, and we walked in. It was dark. And all the parents were huddled over by the light. There's like 15 parents over there, and these kids were gyrating and doing a dance that I'd never heard of and certainly had never seen. And the parents said, "Have you seen what's going on over there in the corner?" And I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, a bunch of them are doing this dance over there, and they're doing it in a line, and it's just – it's obscene." So I walked over there, and I looked at it, and sure enough, it was. And my hands began to get clammy, and I began to get nervous, and I thought, I've got to do something. I just can't watch this. And finally, I walked over to a young man, tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, "Young man, knock it off. That's indecent. You shouldn't be treating a young lady like that." And look, and I smiled at him, and I looked at the young lady, and I said, "Young lady, someday you're going to be somebody's wife. You shouldn't be letting a young man treat you that way. To be dancing like that, I mean, it really is obscene." And that young man looked at me like, "Who in the world? Mm-hmm. What planet are you from, old timer?" I was in my 40s at that point. And I turned around, and here was another dad. He was tapping some on the shoulder. And then another dad. And what happened was a little miniature moment where, well, it was Billy Graham who made the statement, "When one man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened." I think what's missing today are those little acts of courage where the culture and the truth of God's word are colliding.
That was a very scary moment. Mm-hmm. You ran the risk of embarrassing your daughter, mortifying your daughter.
No doubt.
And her holding you accountable for that the rest of your lives together. I mean, you had to have a lot of courage to do that.
Well, it goes back to the definition of courage. Mm-hmm. It's doing your duty in the face of fear. And you're not running a popularity contest, as you know. You call parents over your lifetime. You've called lots of parents to do the right thing and to step into the battle and call your kids up.
That kind of parental courage almost doesn't exist today. You've got parents of 8-year-olds who can't control them at all and are afraid of them. They're afraid if they cross them, then when they get into adolescence, they'll be druggies or something. You know, there's this apprehension of being the parent. You've got to be the parent. You got to be the mom and dad. Teenagers and certainly elementary school students don't need friends. They need parents. They need leadership. Mm-hmm. And I'm preaching now, but
you got to preach it because we got to wake up a generation of young people who are raising the next generation of children. I sent Ben and his brother and sisters an email. I guess it's been about a year and a half ago. And in that email, I quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer said, "The greatest gift one generation can give the next is the gift of a moral society." And I wrote my kids to apologize that we had not been more successful, because I'm looking at the culture that Ben and Marcia Kay, his wife, are raising their 4 daughters in. This is not a friendly culture to Christian values.
Boy, that is a powerful point on which to end today's Family Talk broadcast with Dr. Dennis Rainey and his son Ben. Luann, I really hope our listeners were as challenged and provoked by this time together as we were.
Well, Ryan, I remember leaving the studio with a real sense of how important this topic is. Mm-hmm. I mean, men giving other men a roadmap for living their lives and thriving in their homes and relationships with the people who mean the most to them.
Well, we talked a lot today about mentoring, and I hope you don't discount it. Men, I'm telling you, put it to the test. Go to your pastor or a trusted Christian friend and take that first step towards finding a mentor or being one. And if you need a little additional courage boost, go to drjamesdobson.org and find out how to get a copy of Dennis Rainey's book, Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org or a number 877-732-6825. If you've been encouraged today, and I hope you have, think about making a donation to Family Talk. Your support makes all of this possible. You can do it online at the Family Talk Facebook page, via our app, or one last time, our phone number, 877-732-6825. We appreciate you listening today and make plans to join us next time for the conclusion of this conversation with the Raineys, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.